On page Kuf Mem Tes, which is page 297 in the top numbers. We are in the middle of chapter 29. We are at, in the Hebrew, the last word in the line is Ur, about 10 lines from the bottom. It says, there's a dot there, Daf Reshid V'Resh Chaf Tes, and then a dot, and then Hine Ur, that's where we're starting from. And in English, it's the last paragraph, now this is the light. This is a letter where the which we discussed last time is not written in letter form, is written like a mimer, and the idea being he asks a question about halacha, saying that the crown a woman of valor is the crown of her husband, the halacha is called crowns, and so a person who learns halacha every day is guaranteed a olam haba, and he asks why specifically halacha. Specifically, when it says you have to learn twice a day, it has specifically halacha. So what's the big deal, halacha? So he said, with every mitzvah that we do, we create levushin to our neshama. Not that we're talking about machshava divra maisa, those type of levushin, those type of garments, but rather a garment by which the neshama is able to benefit from the divine revelation after it passes out of the body. And for sure, when Mashiach comes, it will have the ability to appreciate all the godliness that it brought down into this world. And in doing so, this causes Hashem to be happy, and there's more godliness brought down into the world. And the last thing he mentioned just before, that's what we just mentioned before. And so now we're taking it, Vihine Orze HaGanos L'Tzadikim L'Asid Lovi. So now we're talking about the ideal revelation that's going to be, it doesn't happen now, it's on reserve for, he says it's ganus. Ganus means it's there, but we just can't appreciate it. It's hidden, and it's reserved for the tzaddikim in the future. Hanikra v'shem noyam Hashem v'tzachachis. It is called the sweetness of Hashem and the sparkle. Okay, there's this statement about tzachachis is taken from the, I believe it's the Zohar, that describing Keser as an or kadam, it's a primary, it's a primordial type expression, meaning it's not broken into composite parts, and it says that it's or tzach. It's a clear light, it sparkles, and it's dark. Okay? So, our meaning, what does it mean by it's dark? So, that all sounds very good until you get to the dark part.
Before the darkness was separated from the light?
Yeah, exactly. Before the darkness was separated from the light type thing. Which that refers to, like we say in davening, when we start our Birchas Shema. Yes. We say Yetzer or Avara Choshech, we call Bria, which is the higher light, we call it Choshech because to those who can only appreciate Yetzirah, so Bria is Choshech. So this we're telling Keser, we're referring to the Tzachachis, it sparkles as to what it itself is, what it does. It's a conveyance of what Hashem wants. So it relates to Keser, which is described in Samach Vav, as being the intermediary step, meaning the connector between creator and created, meaning, so in order for something to be a connector between two forces, it has to have characteristics inherent of both. It has to be able to relate to one, and it has to be able to relate to the other, and being that it's able to relate to both of them, it can relate both of them to each other. That's what an intermediary does. Okay? You have a perplexed look on your face. Simple, like, you know, like an elbow in a plumbing thing, you know? Yeah. It's got to be, it connects two pipes.
No, I got it.
You
got to
fit both pipes in, both ends, you know? So, the only difference with that one is that the elbow is a pipe. So, but this is Kess, and it's called Tzachlich, it sparkles because of the amount of great revelation that is present in divine will. Because why do you think of it? Why is it that the world is here? Is because Hashem wants it to be. That's an expression of divine will. So hence that expression tzach tzach is lehithanek alavaya, to take delight with Hashem, and that's what is reserved for us when the when the Mashiach comes. Which that level is referred to, he throws in a little bit of Kabbalistic geography over here, which is referred to as the Dalad Ma'ois Almin de Kisufim, the 400 worlds of longing. Where does the number 400 come from? So it depends how you divide it up. Okay, that 400 is either 40 times 10 or 4 times 10 times 10. Okay, so if you're talking 40, 40 is a number, it's referred to as a number of tahara, of purification. Like you have the 40 days of the flood and the 40 years that the Jews are wandering around the desert, you have the 40 saws of a mikveh. So 40 is a number referring to purification, and 10 is a number of completion. So it'd be the full completeness of a level of tahara. And right, this is what he's saying, this is what's referring to the level of keser, and how keser falls into in that way. Okay, as being higher and above any klippa, even though keser, there's already a unika to klippa, because it says lay smala bahayatika in pnimius of keser, which is referred to as atik, which is a level of delight. So there it says there's no such thing as left, meaning there's no relationship to divine delight to klippa. It's too far removed from that. Klippa is it's necessary to, in order to facilitate the world be created in the paradigm which structure. It was created. Structure. But it's not, Hashem did not create the world for klippa, and Hashem's not happy when klippa is doing what it's supposed to be doing. So as far as tainug is going, there's no klippa in tainug. But as far as keser, so keser is ultimately when it comes down and is an expression, as he's talking over here, that's happening when Mashiach comes. So then the world will also be on an ultimate level of purification, and hence the number 400 worlds. Worlds meaning levels in this case. The other way of looking at it, I know this is very obscure. The other way of looking at it is there's something called Dalad Meichim. Your tefillin have four boxes on your shul rosh. Mm-hmm. And these four boxes correspond to the Dalad Meichim, which generally Dalad Meichim is the four brains are Chochma Bina, and then Das is divided into Chesed and Gevura. And that would be then called the Dalad Meichim. But the Dalad Meichim have their source in Keser, as is everything else. Directly, the intellect has a direct relationship with desire, because the intellect steers desire. Okay, if a person may want something, but when they hear all of the ins and outs and what's doing with it and how it does it, how it's going to happen and what you have to do to it and how you have to take care of it, and the ramifications of having it, so then the person is going to make a conclusion, possibly, I don't want it. So there you see that intellect, even though it's high, desire, even though it's higher than intellect, is directed by intellect. And in order for desire to be directed by intellect, there has to have an intellectual component to it to be able to relate to the intellect. That would be called then Chachma of Keser, Bina of Keser, Chesed of Keser, and Gvura of Keser, and that would be therefore called and referred to as the Dalad Meichim. So since there's four of them, so the level of completion is 10, but then there's also 10 more levels in it. So what you have is Chachma of Chachma of Chachma, and Bina of Chachma of Chachma, and finally down to Malchus of Chachma, and then it would be Chachma of Bina, and Chachma Bina of Chachma of Bina, and that's the way it would be on this further, deeper level of appreciation. And then, since in that instance there's also 400 levels. Okay. And this number 400, where does it come from? This is going to be the levels of delight of the tzaddikim. Kamosha kasav arba moya shekel kesef. The number 400 appears in Chumash in reference to how much Avraham paid for the stay Ephraim for his Meir Samach Pela. as Avraham said, as Ephron says, you could have it, I'm giving it to you as a gift.
That's funny.
And Avraham says, no, I want to pay you the fair market value. So he says, between you and me, what's 400 shekels kesef, over the secher, the good ones? Okay, so there, what he's referring to, you know, when you learn Chassidus about these people, so Ephron suddenly becomes this deep Kabbalist, you know, so... So what Ephron was trying to do is saying, listen, I'm a Chitti. Chittites are from the Shiva Umais of Canaan, which are the exact opposites of the spheres of Kedusha. So he was Klippa. So he, the way it's described, is so if he's going to be able to nurture and to parasite, as the case may be here, so then he's going to have to achieve a higher level. What did he want? He wanted those 400 worlds that Avraham had, that 400 levels of delight. You give me that, and then I get to be way bigger. Okay, so hina yesh boi milus madregas rabbis ma'ei gevoya al gevoya. So as far as divine will is concerned, it goes higher and higher and higher and more sublime and more refined levels. And it comes down in more and more details. Ultimately, what is it that Hashem wants? Hashem wants a dir b'tachtonim. He wants this physical world to be a way, a medium for conveying godliness. That's the ultimate goal. How is that goal achieved? Well, there's an infinite number of details that comprise that big picture. What is it that makes Hashem's dira b'tachtonim? So we know generally that if we'll do 613 commandments, so we'll make a dira b'tachtonim, we'll make a dwelling for Hashem. And every mitzvah with all of its details are details within that big plan of making a dwelling for Hashem. But that's bottom line. That's 3D. What about why does this work and how does this work? And why is this detail important? So all of that is on a deeper level, but that's also still part of Hashem's will. That's still part of Hashem's keser. So the level of keser goes higher and higher and higher. But what do we get? We're getting the absolute least slightest smidgen of godliness that comes down to us, which when we do a mitzvah and garbs our soul. So every time we talked about this back in chapter 5, that when a person does a mitzvah, the mitzvahs become these garments for the soul that the soul can withstand greater levels of godliness. What is this garment? This garment is this expression of divine will. And since it is, that how does this person tap into this expression of divine will is by living in a 3D world and utilizing 3D objects, which the amount of godliness we talked about way back when in Shariyachud V'amunah that it took for Hashem to create the physical world was very, very, very little. And even then it was very, 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 very processed. That's what our soul gets as a garment. But, so you could say, oh, that's it? That, by the way, is probably the reason why Hashem said, I don't want your Gan Eden, I don't want your Olam Haba. What is this? Is he talking, this is Ha'aras of it. His chump change. He says, I want you. I want the whole thing. I don't want little bitty bits. Okay, but since it is that it is the divine will of Hashem, there's an expression which loosely translates into, if you grab a little bit of infinity, what do you got?
All of it.
You have the whole infinity. So we have, the Hashem's will is infinite, and every detail really is also infinite. So when we do just a little tiny bit, we do some mitzvah and perform in a physical way, and for just a very short physical time, we're grabbing onto this whole totality of Hashem's will. Because we said back in chapter 5. And this level of godliness that we can relate to is called the most external. It's called behind the back. Derech Mashal, by way of an example, because Hashem doesn't have a back. Sefer Mikdash Melech. And go look over there in that book over there. And Reish Yud Amid Beis, that's another place. Umad Ishtayr. And that was his left. Okay, so now. See, is this all clear? This is like, this letter, I find this letter much harder than chapter. It says chapter 20 of Agaris HaKadosh is called the litmus test as to your sensitivity to spirituality. This stuff, this is like LSD, this stuff.
it's hard, that's new, too. I didn't catch any of this when I was listening to it from Rebbe Fried, but on the radio, on the MP3 player, didn't come through.
No, it's very hard, this stuff. And to translate it means, just translating this makes no sense. So, that's why it's going to take us so long to get through it. Another three lessons after this one, if we get through this one. And then, okay. So here, Kemayim Neshamas Nishmas Adam Yesh Ba Kayach Hatainig. Let's lighten up a little bit. So in order to understand this, we have to understand. We cannot look at ourselves. It says people have pleasures. She's Hagar Mashi Yesh Leining Memenu. People. This is a redundancy. People have pleasures from those things that give them pleasure. Okay, from those things that you like. That's what you get pleasure from. K'may mahaskela seichel chadash. Okay, the Alter Rebbe uses this. Generally, when we're thinking in terms of things that give you pleasure, I said, tell me something that gives you pleasure. Okay, for us men folk, 9 times out of 10 would be food. Oh, when I stick something in my mouth, okay? Ladies are wired different. They tell you something else. But, so the Alter Rebbe, when he wants to give an example of something pleasurable, says, oh, when you learn something, oh, okay, so we know where the Alter Rebbe was about. And specifically when it says, if you learn something new, the Friedrich Rebbe talks about it. He says, one of the things that the Friedrich Rebbe really was very much into was chazara, reviewing. He says, why? Because our nature is, I want to know the next thing. I learned this one already. I want to learn the next one. So that's our nature. And it comes to the point where it could even be a Yetzirah. Which is very strange when you think about it. I just want to learn this Torah. I don't want to learn that Torah. Okay, so the Friedrich Rebbe very much said the importance of doing Chazorah. Okay, I just recently heard a story of somebody who went to some American Rosh Yeshiva. I don't remember which one it was. Might have been Moshe Feinstein, it might have been somebody else. I don't remember who it was. And he was complaining that he learns and can't remember anything. So the rabbi asked him, how many times do you do Chazara? He says, I do the Chazara 4 times on every piece of Gemara. So the rabbi responded, 4 times? That means you just learned it. He says, what do you expect? You know, 4 times you want to remember it? Okay, so so when a person learns something new, they come up with a chiddush. This is like such a big thing. You know, there are schools of Judaic thought that thrive on finding a chiddush. Okay, so there is a there's a song. I don't know where this song came from. I only heard it from one person. He says he heard it from somebody else. I'll have to ask him again next time I see him. And the way that, I'm not going to sing it because it's very long, everybody listening online would immediately click off, or zoom ahead anyway. So the story, the song is based on four stanzas. First stanza is that a bachur sitting in is learning. Okay? And it's all going very, very well. So everything's straight. Suddenly, he notices something. And he says, "Ooh, I discovered something new over here." Okay? And the third verse, he gets really excited. "I found something new." Okay? And then he goes in the fourth verse, he tells the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva, it ends off with, you're basically an idiot. It's nothing. Okay? So, but the thing is in these schools, this is that it's not something unless you made a chiddush. Okay? And it says, he quotes it later, Rebbe Meir's face would shine. I think it happened once. Rebbe Meir's face shone when he found a new Tosefta. Mm-hmm. He never saw this Tosefta before. And so he's in his studies and he comes across this new Tosefta. It says he was just beaming. He was so happy that he found this new Seichel Chadash, the Kiyai Gavna. And he says, and other things too. You want to talk about eating food? Okay, eat food. You know, to talk about some kind of experience that's going to bring you tainig. Ubachinis chetzanis v'acharayim shel kayach. Ubachinis chetzanis shabo. Ubachinis kayach haratzin shabo. Shehu reitza masha. Shehu reitza. And a dover she'ein etzar she'atzar hebach hatainig. And when it comes down into this, how is this manifest? And we talked before, what he's trying to convey is the chetzanis and the acharayim of the will. We said that when a person does this mitzvah, for example, so at least he's connecting to the extraneous, behind the back aspect of Hashem. So what does it mean, this extraneous, behind the back aspect of Hashem's will? So he says, so that we ourselves have an extraneous, behind the back part of the delights that we have. And what is that? That's our power to desire. That a person wants whatever they want. And what is it that a person wants is something that's not going to cause them any grief. And that they might actually, and that maybe even would turn their grief, turn their pain into something they like. So that's called the chitzonius of delight, the chitzonius of will. Okay? And he wants it because it's not, at least it doesn't hurt. Kachal derech mashal b'orein say baruchu. And so it is also with the infiniteness of Hashem. Gam ken kiviyach, also so to speak. Haratzen ha'elyon baruch hu b'chines chitzainis v'acharayim l'b'chines einig ha'elyon. Hashem's will compared to Hashem's delight, it would be considered external and behind the back. Because the real inner dimension of godliness is the impetus behind the will is the delight. Because why is it that anybody wants anything? Is because they like it, it feels good, it brings them pleasure. So that's the desire, that's the reason for the delight, that's the impetus, not the reason. That's the impetus for the desire. So it's the same thing then with Hashem. And that it now is expressed as the sweetness of Hashem, with the tzachtzuchos, and the sparkle, the almi, the kesufim hanal, and the worlds of longing, gam shehem yuchad in betachas hayuchad. And even though we're talking keser, according to the Alter Rebbe and his paradigm that he uses from the Arizal, keser is not one of the ten spheres. It's above the ten spheres. It's just why it says in the Arizal that there are ten spheres. I have recently seen online, when showing people pictures of like the 10 sphere chart, that it'll say, this is the 10 spheres, and it'll have 11 spheres, because they'll put Kesser in also. Okay, it's just like, wait a minute, this is the picture, and it says, I showed this to somebody, it said 10 spheres, there's 11 circles. Okay, so, and the reason is because when you count Kesser, you don't count Das, when you count Das, you don't count Kesser. Why not? Why can't I have 11 spheres? I see 11 circles, what's the big deal? It says because Kesser and Das are in two different systems. It's like they're going to draw them on the same piece of paper, but they're really parallel. Okay, it's like two parallel systems, because Kesser has its own system of coming down into this world. We alluded to that before. It's called Histalshelus HaKesarim, which means the creation process for the divine levels of will. And the will, for example, we're talking about, I desire to have this house. So the desire that my floor should be the way that my floor is more closely related to the magnanimous desire of wanting a house, more than it is the intellectualization of how do I go about getting the floor.
Right.
Okay, because what is the way I want my floor is a detail of what I want from my house. They both fit into that same category of wanting.
Right.
Okay? When a person's though internalized it and takes it out of the realm of desire, so there it now becomes, it's not that I'm not doing this now because I want to. I'm intellectualizing and expressing emotion and putting into action under the impetus of the desire, but the desire is not always through there. Because that, when I'm thinking about how do I do something, at that moment, I'm not thinking of the big picture of what I want. I'm thinking about how do I get this detail so ultimately it'll pop back in my head. Oh, this is I'm doing it because this is what I wanted. So every mitzvah, for example, every mitzvah has a zillion details. And so a person learns all the details to know how the person should be performing that mitzvah. What's it all for, though, is the actual performance of the mitzvah. So each one of those details of how to perform that mitzvah is actually a detail in Hashem's desire. If it wasn't dear Hashem, we wouldn't be doing it, because if Hashem didn't want it, he couldn't do it. So the spheres in Kesser, all the details are united with Hashem, united in Kesser in an ultimate unity, meaning it's only one thing. Because, if you go again, the example of the house, okay, so I want a house, that's my Kesser. And there has to be a detail that my floor has to be the way the floor is. What happens if the floor is not the way that it is? It's not the house I want. It's not to say that I want this a little bit. It's not the house I want. I'm willing to make a compromise. Compromise, the word compromise means I do not want this, but under the circumstances that this is going to be the best I'm going to take, so my intellect is telling me go take it, but it's not what I want.
Right.
Okay, so it says the best compromise is everybody walks away unhappy. Okay, so Okay, and that's because of that all being contained in an ultimate unity. It's not like it's saying, well, you want a floor and you want a window and you want a roof and you want a this and what. It's not little. I don't want the composite of all the details. I want the whole thing.
Right.
Okay, when I think about the house that I want, I'm not thinking about all the details that go into that house. Okay, so it's like, and we're talking about details, we're talking about making a house, you know, so we're refurbishing this building over here. So it's like, do you want the plugs in this room, do you want them to be 12 inches off the ground, or do you want them to be counter high? What are you doing over here? You know, it's just like, wow, I gotta think of every detail. Okay, do you want the light to go this way? Do you want the light to shine that way? You know, it's just like, huh? Because ultimately, if it doesn't work out exactly right, my wife's not going to want it, and it's not what she wants, and if she doesn't get what she wants, she's not going to be happy, and then I'm not going to be happy.
Right.
So, ultimately. Shehu Yisbarach Ratzono Echad, that Hashem and His will are all one thing. Okay, and we don't have this because the lokeratzon ha'adam chaser shalom, and it's not like our desire, because there's me and there's what I desire.
Right.
It's true, the desire to have a house, is an intrinsic desire, because the Gemara says that a man who does not have a house is not a man, and nobody wants to be a nobody. So therefore, everybody wants to have a house. It's an essential desire within us, but it's not me. No. I am not defined as wanting a house.
No.
Okay? Whereas Hashem, in this case, his creator, is defined as wanting a dira b'tachtonim. And then he wants to go so far as to say, there's really no comparison between our will and Hashem's desires. But nonetheless, the Torah talks in terms of vernacular so that we can understand it. And we learn that there's something called divine will, what Hashem wants. But it's got nothing to do with wants, like we want.
Right.
And if the verse says, Kilo Mashavai Sai Mashavai Seichem, my thoughts are not like your thoughts, then for sure my desires are not like your desires. Umashiach Lishmael b'mashal malitza minishmas ha'adam ha'kalula mekeach ha'tayni v'haratzai v'achach ma'am bina. And the fact that we use this example of people, that people have will and wisdom and understanding and delight, Ukinir Bahush, where does the parallel fit then? We just went through all the, we're playing ping pong over here. We try to describe what Hashem looks like, and we say, you know what? Let's look at us. Okay? Then we say, well, Hashem's not like us. Now we're saying, well, Hashem is like us. Are we like Hashem? We still have a chachma, a tainig, a chachma, a bina like Hashem has. That when a person thinks some kind of new thought, what happens then is the person gets really excited. He's like full of such pleasure that he found this new thing. This tells us what? That the timing, the acquisition of pleasure, is actually much higher than intellect, because he didn't achieve this level of taina, the personal pleasure, until he used his head and found what he was looking for. The only thing is that desire encloses itself into intellect and wisdom. Now, when the person relates to, he says feels, margish feels, when the person senses that, oh, I've got this intellect thing going on right now, that he comprehends and understands it well, then, when he finally understands it, he can go, you know, this is pretty geschmack. You see that when you're learning like a sicha from the Rebbe. Okay? So the Rebbe takes a pusik from something, or a maimer chazal, and rips it into little pieces by asking a zillion questions, goes off on a tangent, comes back, ties the whole thing in, and you don't know where he's going until finally he says, and oh, by the way, we're just sewing it all back up and making a neat little package. And your brain goes, whoa, that was pretty geschmack. We use that expression when we find out about intellect. The word geschmack means tasty. Tasty means what you do with the skin on the outside of your tongue. Yes. Okay, that's tasty. That's where your taste is. Okay, but what happens when you taste? Why do we use this word for intellect? Is what happens when you taste something delicious, physiological? Is the taste buds, which are connected to the nerves, stimulate synapses in the brain, and there's all different types of brain chemicals which are released, and the person then has this experience of pleasure. What happens when a person learns something and they go, aha, I got it? You have the same synapses opening up, releasing the same chemicals into the brain, etc. Okay, so you could say, in that aspect, it's learning something new could be tasty. It doesn't sound so right in English, but the word geschmack, yeah, that's what it is. Like, for example, when we see actuality, nifla. Do we do this? That when a person will think some kind of new thing, at least he'll have some kind of intellectual stimulated delight there. That's why the level of understanding is called the world to come. Because what happens in the world to come, it's like we talked about last time, Chassidus is Mashiach's aha. Because Mashiach is going to come, and all those people who learned Chassidus and didn't have a clue what it was talking about, but they knew it was talking about something, okay, which that really is basically every one of us. Because as soon as you say Ruchnius, even a Malchus of Asiya, Haruchnius, as soon as the lowest level of spirituality is beyond our comprehension. So Mashiach is going to come, and we'll start comprehending it. And what's going to happen? We're going to go, oh, that's what that means when I said Malchus of Malchus of Malchus.
Right.
I got it now. Shehu v'chinas is galus ha-chochma in a tainik ha-malubish bosh ha-meisigim ha-tzadikim ha-gan Eden. That this is now, how is this done now? That this is a revelation of wisdom with the desire which is enclosed in those kind of things that the tzadikim, the righteous, comprehend in Gan Eden when they've divested themselves of their bodies. Umaskilim b'pnimius ha-teira, and they comprehend the very inner aspects of the Torah, and that's what the souls are doing all day in Gan Eden, is they're sitting and learning, and they're learning the true way of the wisdom of Hashem, not like us that we learn it as a parable. That Shlomo, for example, called it Mashal HaKadmoni, the primordial example, or primordial story. But rather, in Gan Eden, we get it straight, a little bit anyway. And he comprehends the inner aspects of the Torah, which comes from wisdom. And the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all one thing. So that when a person is trying to put their mind around the Torah, there's a whole lot of God you got to get your mind wrapped around. So a person can never say, Torah, I did that already, I finished. Because there's just, it's the willing wisdom of Hashem. It's infinite, and you can't put your head around it. Any specific detail even. I saw this in Australia. In Australia, there was a young man who was in Kerala who had a tremendous power of analysis. Okay. He was learning for smicha. Okay. Never got it. He spent the better part of 3 years learning about udders. An udder has milk in it, it's got meat in it. And it's two paragraphs. Okay, most people just go like, zing, okay, we did udders. Okay, go on, invite it. Nope, he couldn't do it. Okay, he had to really fully understand udders. And of course I said to him, you're being utterly ridiculous, but I said to him, because you live in a first world country, you're never going to even ever eat an udder either.
Right.
Because they all go into dog food. So but the Torah and Hashem is all one thing. And hopefully when Mashiach comes, this guy will finally figure out what udders are all about. To be continued, we are on page 298, which is Mem Tes Amid Beis. We're at the new word, the Hine Rutsen Ha'elyain, and the last paragraph on that English page. To be continued.